My auntie from get beat up. I see her face swell up. Traumatized me. I call it the crazy new way of life for indigenous people. That never used to happen, in my view. If it did, the people were dealt with right now. You don't treat life givers like that. So I say to, you know, I tell people, you know, I got four relatives that were murdered, women. I know how real this is. And I know that all of us men must do something too. We must make noise too. We must let people know this is unacceptable. Otherwise, we're just bystanders. We're not allies to the life givers. It's hard to be physically threatened and bullied on a daily basis. I know that because that's what happened in residential school. So I'm really glad for this question, you know, that you find, you don't give up, you find a way to be safe with your babies and yourself. Sometimes you have to walk and leave that one. Sometimes you have to make noise and that person's going to go to jail. Maybe that's what will help them. Because one of the things I know, most women got the mother instinct and they even worry about the abuser. I was helping a student in Vancouver who was going to BCIT. Her man was really abusive. So she told me one day, she made up her mind, I'm going to leave him. And, so I said, okay. I said, okay, that's good. Yeah, I see her. She's got her head down. I said, what's the matter? And she said, I wonder who's going to look after him. And I was sort of shocked. And I said, he's a man. He's not going to starve. You know, that shows the depth of the life givers' worry about human beings. Even if they're being abused by one, they still will worry about that one. It just shocked me. I mean, that I remember. So she left and she became successful. It was a big decision for her. I know it is. We must make noise. We must sit down as society, as communities and families, and talk about what's not acceptable. Every one of us that have little boys, if we see them hitting a little girl or their mother, we must stop them. Say, no, we don't do that. The zero tolerance for males to strike women, doesn't matter what age you are. Because that little boy can become a man. And if he gets away with it and he's young, he'll grow up that way. So as society, we must say, this is totally not acceptable. I got so fed up with it in my life. In 1993, I was walking around saying that indigenous men don't have balls. Holy cow, some indigenous men almost beat me up. They say, why do you say that? I said, as long as we know of a woman been beaten in our community and we don't do anything about it, we're not really men. So if it's happening in your backyard, in your community, you must band together as good men and go talk to that man and say, you stop that. See, we're sort of into this, somebody's going to take care of it. The policeman or the probation officer or the parole officer or somebody. No, we must take responsibility, I feel. for a woman to feel all alone and just wondering what to do, that's a sign to us that this is wrong and that we must put our minds together. Like Sitting Bull said, you live not too far from here, from where I'm living now, South Dakota. And let's put our minds together to see what we can do for the children. I really love those words. I feel that's what we must do. Put our minds together to see what we can do from the babies and their mothers being violated. What can we do? Beautiful. I'm really sorry to, you know, the one that asked this question. Because that's what it's going to take, and I know it's not going to stop it right now. That's what makes me feel sorry right now. That we must realign ourselves as a society of men to say there's zero tolerance against striking women, zero tolerance to raping women. That we must do that as a society. Yeah.
Thank you, Elder. Thank you for your words. I appreciate it. So I'm just going to do my quick plug right now so we can get one more question in before we go. The UBC Learning Circle has a couple different sessions coming up in the coming weeks, including a session next week with Denise on gathering our medicine. Following that into May, we're going to have Melanie Rivers come and join us along with Leah Walker and talk about art therapy. And finally, we're going to have a speaker series in collaboration with with IRSI here at UBC to discuss a range of topics, including COVID, generally focused on COVID-19 risks, responses, and resilience. So I'm really excited about that series and hope that you guys will all join me. Elder, before we go, I've got one last question for you, and that is from Robin Ward, who asks if you could please repeat the three areas of health for all of us to try to focus on in this time so that they can make a health plan for it, if you could remember back at the beginning.
Yes, because this is, you know, this has become my guidelines. There's three areas look after, and healing workers only, three areas look after. We're human beings. First off, I'll go with the mind. We must free ourselves of negative messages that were put in our mind. Like at one time I grew up thinking I'm an Indian and I'm a stupid Indian. Then I grew up hearing lazy Indian, drunken Indian. That impacted my mind. I had to wash my brain out of those filthy words that put me down because I'm indigenous. See, that was a mental thing for me. It caused mental stress. I beat myself up. So I had to literally free myself from those messages. That's with the mind. We all make mistakes in communication, let's say with our children or our loved ones. That becomes a mental health issue because we say, oh, I shouldn't have done that, and you're tossing and turning at night. Why did I say that to my son? Yeah, it becomes a mental health issue. So we need to pay attention to this wonderful computer here, this mind, and keep it clear as we possibly can. So every mistake we make from, let's say, from here on, we make a pact here to everybody that's listening. When we make a mistake, we're going to address it in the safest, best way possible for our own mental health and for the mental health of the people who live with us. So we take care of our mind. To heal your mind, like I say, as soon as you start talking about something that's weak with you, 50% of the stress leaves your body, then you may have enough energy to deal with that specific problem that's in your mind. The elders in the West Coast say, yuck with it, kwiya, free yourself, put it down. Put what down? the negativity that come to your brain. Women get put down all over the world by men. They must take that out and put it down too. You know, so we look after our mental health by talking, by reading positive material, listening to positive music, you know, burning medicine like that fungus, go into your brain, help your brain. Now the healing work for the body, like I've had massage therapy, I've had brushing with cedar, with feathers, with hands, to help my body, to get negativity out of my body. When people struck me like that, across my ears and my face, as a child, that put negativity in my body. So I started walking like this. I'm hunched over. I'm exaggerating it now, but I'd be hunched over. And I literally got stomach ulcers in my stomach because of the violence that was inflicted on my body, because it got to my mind. So we get massage. We do saunas or sweats. We run and sweat. We do things for our body. Keep it nice and clean, you know, get that nice lavender smell and stuff for our body. And the biggest thing for me, the biggest medicine now, is to get hugs from little children to where their arms are shaking. Like my granddaughters, when they do that, that's medicine for me. For my body, for my mind. So we take care of that body. Now I always tell people, sit like an eagle. Don't be slouched over, because that's how you're going to walk when you get to be old like Jerry. You don't want to walk like that. Sit like an eagle. Sit straight. Helps your breathing. But take care of the body. Good food. You are what you eat. Take care of that body. Then the third area is the spirit. And remember, that's what holds your body together. And for when your spirit is really strong, doesn't matter what the weather is, how many mosquitoes or whatever, the virus is here, you still want to live. You have this resilience, no quit in you. You want to be here. You want to participate in the life. You want to celebrate. You want to weep. You want to laugh. You want to sing. You want to dance. And your spirit is good. You want to be successful at everything you do. Washing dishes, sweeping the floor, cooking, working, being an uncle, being an auntie, being a grandparent, being a dad, being a brother, you know, any, all those things, you want to be successful, you want to be good at it. That's a sign of a really healthy spirit when you walk around like this. And then the third indicator of a spirit, you know you're doing good, is that you're kind. People could see it in your eyes. There's no anger, fear, or depression there. You're kind, and people want to be with you. When they see you come in, they laugh, and they call you over. Come on! That happened to me many times. Yeah, I believe because I'm kind. I followed that teaching my granny. Ah, squisha, kal, kalut, appa. Don't you say mean words to people. Always, amma, kalut, she says good words. I follow the teaching, people laugh when they see me because it's joy. Some of them, or they just see me, oh, come on. Because my spirit is good. So those are the three areas. You notice I didn't say emotions. Because the emotions are because of what happens to our mind or our body or our spirit. That's feelings moving around in our realm. Like when my granddaughter squeezes me and her point of her hands are shaking, in my realm it's all goodness. That's pure love. You know, but if somebody strikes me or gives me the snake eyes, it goes into my body. And my responsibility is to get it out of there. I tell people, you don't want to walk around. You don't want to, your grandchildren, your relatives, to look in your eye and see anger there, because they'll get afraid of you. You don't want them to look you in the eye and see fear there, because they'll be afraid too. You especially don't want them to see depression in your eyes, because it'll make them sad. And we get fear, angry, or depressed because we get traumatized in our mind or our body. And that's when they say, free yourself. Use the medicines. Brush yourself off. Shake it off. Dance. Do things to take care of that mind, that body, and that spirit. That's what's required of us. Some people love to talk about emotions. I know they're real because I just talked about love. And I've seen the arrogance of a sexual abuser come after Jerry. That caused a lot of emotion, negative emotions in me. But you know what's stronger than that? It's the love of friends and relatives. That abuser has no power that can beat love from your friends and relatives for you. So you remember that, and you do that for other people.
Hi, Chica Elder. I appreciate it, as always. So that brings us right to the end of our time here today. To everybody that I couldn't get around to your questions, I apologize. But I really appreciate all the questions that came in, and I hope that what we were able to chat to today was good for everybody else. So for today, again, thank you very much, Elder Jerry. I appreciate it every time we get to chat, and I'm a little bit sad that we won't be able to connect again this summer, but they'll be next year. It's important for all of us to look after one another and stay safe and healthy during this time. So thank you all very much. Until next week. Bye now.
Darcy, you mean what's happening with the moose?
Mm-hmm.
Well, right now, because of the fires going on, I'm sure there's a lot of displacement of moose. But over the past few years, we've been seeing almost like the old Wild West of shooting buffalo from the train as it went through the prairies. And that's how we feel about non-resident hunters coming up to Tahltan territory and harvesting, you know, tons of moose and displacing local hunters in their ability to harvest moose. Province of BC does have limited entry hunting regulations, which means that there's usually only so many moose tickets for other game management zones, and once those tickets have been filled by hunters, there are no more moose available to hunters who live in southern BC. So what they all do is they head north to our territory, and quite frankly, it's like a huge migration, you know, often, and I'm only guessing, but it's based on years of observation, that there's probably between 3,000 to 5,000 hunters that come up and essentially take over the prime moose habitat. And they basically are everywhere. They're everywhere you can imagine. There was at least some ability for the moose population to be able to right itself after the annual hunt. Nowadays, it doesn't have that opportunity. Moose do not have opportunity. I have been to the top of Tabletop and was surprised to see like a ton of different hunting camps up on the top of the mountain. You have pressure coming from the top of the mountain and pressure coming from the river banks, rooting out moose to the point where they don't have a chance. There's no chance. Of moose in our territory, and it's very distressing, especially for those of us who grew up eating moose, and we look at moose not as a sport but as a pure sustenance for feeding our families. When I harvest a moose, I feel really sad about taking a moose's life, and I give thanks and I do ceremony and I take everything I can of the moose, because that moose gave its life so that we can survive. We pay it a certain amount of respect and reverence. And it's really difficult to film hunting camps where I've literally seen a moose carcass rot on the ground. We're having a lot of those kinds of issues. There's been a lot of issues where we have witnessed wastage on the land, because often they take the head and the antlers, they take some of the choice cuts, and they leave the rest behind. And we need to start doing something more aggressively to protect the moose population, otherwise they're disappearing. They're gone. They're gone. used to be that the biggest fear traveling the highway was that you would run into a moose. Because if we saw any movement off of the sides of the roads, that we were to tell our parents right away while they were driving, see a moose, see a moose. We don't even do that anymore. Nobody even worries about seeing a moose on the road anymore, because the fact of the matter is they've been hunted to the point where that they no longer come to the roadways. They no longer are in the sloughs that are parallel to the highways. They're no longer in the places where we always knew them to be. They're being overhunted. It's really sad. And it makes me angry. I learned it from my parents and from my grandfathers and from my aunts and my uncles and my cousins. Just about everybody I came into contact, in one way or another, moose was king. From a very young age, from the moment I could understand the world around me, moose have been a part of that existence. Those memories are beautiful, of watching your auntie go up and cut a piece of the cheek off Auntie Raina and eating that and going, mmm, or my Uncle Hector, you know, and just dancing around with joy, eating the moose head, telling us their memories of eating the moose and how they used to do it. Understanding within Indigenous people that if salmon and moose and caribou and other traditional food sources disappear, then how are we any different from the people that go to the supermarket? It is true that you do reduce culture by removing culturally appropriate and significant food sources. It is true that you do reduce culture by it is being that culturally appropriate reduce and culture significant by food sources. Removing culturally appropriate and significant food sources.
You're listening to CJSF 90.1 FM in Burnaby, British Columbia, broadcasting from the unceded territories of the Coast Salish peoples. Find us online at cjsf.ca and on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and SoundCloud.